talking to the bartender, which, if you don't know, like, he was a college student at the University of St. Andrews. He's like, hey, you playing the Old Course? I'm like, no, man, I don't have a tee time. You know, we're just here visiting. He was like, well, you could sleep outside and get on. I was like, really? Played Torrey. I wouldn't put that in the top five.
I think Torrey's a dog. We talked about this on your podcast.
Yeah, our pod. Yeah, you know what? I think for what it is, it's really good. It's a good championship golf course for professionals. You know, it gives a real test of golf.
There is a podcast brewing that's about to take over podcasting for good. The only podcast that you are going to need to tune into day in, day out, is the Member Guest Podcast.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks.
And now, the Member Guest Podcast!
John Daly, and you're listening to the Member Guest Podcast. Rip it, rip it.
What's your name? How tall are you? And how much do you weigh?
Isn't
that what they do on what's that guy's sports
Dan
show?
Dan Patrick.
Yeah, Dan Patrick. Isn't that what he says? Isn't that those three things?
Height and weight or something. Yeah, Mike.
Height and weight.
6'5". Oh God, I don't even know what I weigh. It's fat right now. 240 something probably.
Well, you can hit the ball a mile. You're just somewhat crushing it on the sim.
Yeah, it's tough. Tough scene on the sim. A big meltdown here. The hometown boy got me.
Well, I honestly would have been embarrassed if I didn't. Not only my home course, we played the back nine at Windsong, but it's on my sim, and you said you haven't hit balls in forever, and I hit balls like every day, and I was three down through three,
yeah,
I think.
Well, we had 16, you birdied, and I pulled a nice double, so that got you.
I birdied 14, 16, and 18 or something like that.
Sims are hard. I'm not a good sim player.
Well, what else are we supposed to do right now?
Nothing. It's the worst.
Yeah, we sit here and it's cold and we just talk golf and we finally meet in person for the first time. Mike from Break 80, welcome to the Member Guest Podcast.
Yeah, glad to be in the studio. It's sweet in here.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's it gets everything done that I wanted to get done and turned into a little podcast studio and yeah.
Absolutely.
It does all right.
Good setup.
So I cut you off before we started because you were telling me a phenomenal story. and now I would like you to restart and tell it again about, because we were talking, you guys are thinking about going to Ireland, and you've got a head cover from
Old Course.
From the Old Course. Yeah. And you were talking about how you played the Old Course. And I said, tell me this story on the pod. So the floor is yours, and I need to hear this story
it's
over
a good
again.
Story.
And they no longer let you sleep outside.
Oh, yeah, it's done. Yeah, it's funny. So my fiance and I, in 2016, I think it was, we were just going over to Ireland, Scotland, and England for a couple weeks, and did not plan on playing. Didn't bring clubs, nothing. But I was telling her, I was like, "Well, we got to go to St. Andrews. I just want to see it." So we got there. It's funny. I had a horrible back. I could hardly bend over. So I'll make the story longer. We flew into Dublin. I'm like, oh, my God, my back is killing me. I found a chiropractor in a basement in Dublin because we had a layover.
No way.
And this guy looked like Austin Powers. He had, the flowery shirt on with his unbuttoned hair on his chest. He was showing me how flexible he was. I'm like, dude, I don't care how flexible. I just fixed my back for a week. I just need it for a week.
Was this like a Yelp thing? Like you literally Googled chiropractor near me?
Yeah, Dublin.
And they had to have at least 3 stars, and you were like, I'm good.
I don't even remember. Because we had like an 8-hour layover until we flew to Glasgow and got to Scotland. And so it's in a basement of this old building. And he's like looking at my back, like, oh man, look at this. Your one leg is longer than that, or whatever. I don't know. I don't know the chiropractic stuff. But finally, he somewhat fixed me. Didn't really do anything. But that's how my trip started, in the basement of a chiropractor. Well, anyway, we get over to St. Andrews, and I had actually called the Dunvegan Hotel, the famous bar, probably the most famous golf bar in the world, probably,
undoubtedly.
And they had an opening for the night to stay at the Dunvegan. I couldn't believe it. So I'm like, yeah, we'll take it. So we're just, we get there, walked around the old course because it's like a park. I mean, there's people everywhere, dogs.
Yeah.
I mean, they're everywhere.
It's a public, public area.
It's a public area. And we went around town. We're just sitting in the bar talking to the bartender, which, if you don't know, he was a college student at the University of St. Andrews. They have the filthiest deal for the college students. He was paying, and this was 10 years ago, but he was paying like 300 pounds to get a student membership, and you get on all the St. Andrews courses, like all six or whatever they are.
So, I mean, I don't know what the conversion rate is. Let's just say it's 300.
400 bucks, let's say.
400 bucks for like, all the courses?
Yeah, to play, you know, there's like five of them or whatever. Like, unbelievable, including the old course. And he's like, hey, you playing the old course? I'm like, no, man, I don't have a tee time. You know, we're just here visiting. He was like, well, you could sleep outside and get on. I was like, really? And, you know, this is before I was like on, you know, on social media. So I didn't really, you know, a lot of these things you learn on social media nowadays, which I didn't know about. So I'm thinking, all right, maybe I'll do this. I'll rent clubs. And so I asked him, I was like, hey, do you think that I could take like blankets out of the hotel room? Cause we're staying right above the Dunvegan. It's like a bed and breakfast. He's like, ah, she won't care. Go ahead. So I just rip all the bedding off. And my fiance just stayed there. And I'm out there. I'm the second one in line.
Somebody beat you to it.
Somebody beat me. And normally, it used to be, I think, before that, they would get out there at like 3 or 4 a.m. because it opens at 6, the queue does. And he's like, well, lately it's been more like 1 o'clock. So if you go now, like it was like midnight or 1, you should be good. And I get out there, and somebody from Texas beat me. But I'm second. And I'm laying there sleeping with a pillow and like a duvet cover.
Was it cold? Like what was
it? I don't know, at night. It's August, and it's Scotland, so it gets chilly.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I'm out there and I'm gonna get on, and it was really cool. It's too bad they got rid of this, because I think it's a neat experience in golf. It's totally like they don't give you a number. It's all on the honor system. There was no line. You know, by 4 or 5 o'clock, you got maybe 100 people out there. I mean, it's a lot, which is crazy to me. Because if I were to get there at 5 o'clock and there's like 100 people there,
you just turn it around, right?
You should. I mean, they're only taking 7 to 10, you know, spots a day or something. But it was so cool because, you know, I got up at like 4 o'clock. I slept for a few hours, but everybody's talking golf, you know, everybody. So you're just kind of walking around talking golf, people from all over the world, people that have played, you know, they just played Carnoustie or they just played, you know, somewhere. So it's an amazing experience. And then, yeah, so I got on. So at 6 o'clock, they open the doors, and they say, who's first? It's like nobody's standing in line. Everybody just knows. You know, so this guy they're like, who's second? I'm like, that's me. So I go in, and you're supposed to, you have to give a handicap. Like, you have to give you're supposed to show, I don't know if you had to show them, I can't remember, but you have to write down, like, your handicap. Because you're not supposed to have a really high handicap, you know, but caddies claim that they've, you know, some people go through 2 dozen balls out there, which is impossible because there's nowhere to lose one really other than the course bushes. You know, it's like, holy cow, there's bad players. But yeah, so I got on, and then, you know, I didn't have clubs, so I had to rent clubs, and then I went back and slept for a while. I had an afternoon tea time, and you get out there, and my back was so bad. I could barely put the ball in the tee on the first hole. Thankfully, my lovely fiance now had like a Vicodin or something from some sort of, I don't know if she had a dental procedure or something. She had one somehow in her purse. I took it. A couple holes in, I felt like $1 million, so we're good to go. But yeah, it's sweet. It's really cool because, I mean, the first tee is amazing. You know, you're there right in front of the R&A. And, you know, it's funny because there's a walking path that goes right out in the middle of the 18 and 1 fairway. So the caddies are yelling at people to get out of the way because people are walking their dogs and shit, you know, everywhere.
Hanging out.
Yeah, just hanging out. And the caddies are yelling at them to move. And the nice thing about it is it's the easiest tee shot in golf. Like, the fairway is 100 yards wide because there's 18 fairway. And you got the burn up there at, like, I think the one spot, maybe 300 yards is the closest. But everything rolls so far. So you just hit an iron. You're just hitting an iron out there. Although one guy in the group hit it out of bounds right somehow when you can hit it 100 yards left. But, yeah, and then you go. And we played. It was amazing. The only thing the thing that kind of sucked is I wanted the bad weather. Like, the legit. I wanted the nasty,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, sure.
And it was beautiful. It was like 75 and no wind. And the caddy's like, this is my nicest day ever here in like 30 years of caddy. I'm like, well, that sucks. But, yeah, it was good. I mean, they had rental clubs, and they didn't have extra stiff shafts. So I had stiff.
Yeah, and you're playing
super. I mean,
you were playing 130 X's.
Yeah.
In those things. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's like a 2x4.
Yeah. So like the first driver I hit on like the second hole was the biggest snap hook of all time, and the caddy's like, just put those away. And I just hit nothing but iron almost all day, except for a couple holes.
Got you around.
Yeah. Well, it's like super firm, you know. So you've played Ireland. It's a little bit similar to the conditions, but firm. You can, the ball rolls forever, so you can hit a 4-iron. It ends up going 300 yards if you flush one on the fairway. It just runs forever. So, it, you know, and they don't have, like, they didn't have back tees. They put one set of men's tees and one set of women's tees out for the day, and you just play wherever they tell you to play.
That's it.
So that's how you go. So it's not like we're playing all the way back. And we got around. I played pretty well. I hit the pin on 11. That would have been a sweet hole in one. Didn't go in.
To have one at
the old course, yeah.
The old course.
It had a lot of heat on it, though. It hit hard. I missed.
Like it's a good thing it hit the pin.
Yeah, I had like a 12-footer for birdie. It dinged off it, and I missed it. And then I was playing well. I was like one over through 16. You know, the caddies.
Wow.
The caddies get you around and everything, and you know, and realistically, with no wind, I mean, I think only having played it once, it's not that hard of a. You've seen on the open.
Yeah, it's very open.
When
right?
there's no wind.
And they don't have the greens running crazy hard.
They don't.
You got a good caddy.
Yes. And with no wind, a lot of the bunkers aren't in play, you know, because you're hitting it over them. Like, I think, like, I would, it's that course where, you know, when you listen to people like Tom Doak and some, and pros who have been there many, many times, I think that's when you really gain the appreciation for the kind of the genius of the architecture and the bunker placement. Because one day they're not in play, the next day with the wind.
Sure.
They're right in, you know, everything's in play. So it's kind of dependent on that. Well, we get to, the wind kicks up a little bit. We get to 17, you know, the road hole.
Yeah.
And I hit a good, I'm hitting driver on 17. So, you know, you
can. I was going to say, that's when you can drive the green on 17.
You could.
Right?
And 18, you can get them both up there. But of course, I got this, I'm hitting big hooks with it. So I hit it way over the, like, the right side of the garage sign. You know, you're supposed to hit it over, like, the O or the A. I can't remember what it is, the O, I think. But I went farther right. And I look back to the caddy, and I have it on video. I'll have to put it back on social media again. And I'm like, I think it's good. You know, so I'm kind of posing. He goes, too far left. I'm like, really? So then I get up there, and it's like the Sunday pin. It's behind the bunker, but I'm left in the fescue.
This is 17 or 18?
17, the 17. Road hole. So I'm just fucked. I mean, there's no hope to get it up there.
Caddy was right.
Yeah. So I made bogey there. Then we get to 18, and I had a really good drive actually there. And I'm right down in front of the green, and I chip went up there like 20 feet or something. And then this is funny. I three jack for bogey, there's a huge, there's a bunch of tourists from, I don't know, somewhere in Asia or something there. And I don't know what they thought was happening, but I three putt, you know, from not that far away, like 20. And they're giving me the standing ovation. They're clapping, you know, like, I'm like, so I'm giving the hat tip to these people that I have no idea who they are. And I just three putted for bogey. And that was kind of funny. But yeah, it's awesome. The caddies are amazing. They're just old, crusty guys. They'll tell you, you get a bad shot, they'll just go, that was kind of shit, man.
I'm like, shit.
I'm like, yeah.
What was that?
But that's what I like in a caddy. Like, I don't want a caddy, you know, like, I don't know. I think you guys maybe talked to us in your pod before, but like, you know, I don't need a caddy that's played a really good golfer themselves, and they'll tell you, I could, you know, this is what I would do. I don't care. Just read a putt for me, tell me where to hit it, you know. And if you want to give me shit when I had a perfect, that's fine with me. My buddies give me shit all the time when we're playing, so why do I care?
I was talking with Jamie Rue about this the other day because I'm going to Bandon for the first time this summer, and he's been a couple times, and he had a suggestion on a caddy. Sounds like you know him, Tony.
Yeah, he's a Minnesota guy, Schuster, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But he's like, Tony's the best. He's very much going to be like part of your group and your experience. Yeah. And that's like kind of what we're looking for. Like, you know, we're going to be there 5 days, so I like want some of the caddies that like we'll see – and they kind of like get used to you and your group and the camaraderie and the game and like actually be a part of your, you know, experience as opposed to maybe somebody that's just, you know, carrying the bag. Like, you know, you can tell me when I hit it like shit, yeah. You know, like that's what makes it fun.
Absolutely. Speaking of Bandon, I was there this summer and we had, that's what we had. We had two caddies that we had lined up ahead of time that somebody referred to us. And we just, basically they were our guys for the whole trip. They just showed up where we played, and then what we did was we just rotated them around. Like they would usually carry the bag for one guy, and then we had used push carts, the other guys, you know, and then we would all float them extra cash just to forecast. Tell us, you know, come read putts for all of us.
Sure.
Tell us where to hit it. And then we just rotated around who had the actual bag carried, and we had, you know, and they were awesome about it. So the caddies there are great.
You guys have, you know, it sounds like you've played a ton of awesome courses. I mean, we were talking before, you've played Shadow Creek, played Scottsdale National, you've done all Bandon, you've done old, the old course.
Yep.
I'm curious to hear kind of your, let's just go like your top five that you've played. Cause I mean, a lot of the stuff that you've talked about on your list, like I could make a top five out of it and I've played none of them. So I'm curious.
Top five that I've played. Well, the old course is obviously number one.
It's what everybody says. It's what Andy says too. He's like, there's nothing. He's like, you'll play it and nothing will ever top it.
I would love to get back. It's just like, you know, when you look at it on its face, it's just, you know, it's very flat. It's kind of when you're out there playing and you're just kind of soaking it all in, you know, cause it's a fairly slow round of golf. Cause there's a lot of people out there playing and everybody's taking their time and
taking it all in.
And it's just, yeah, it's amazing. And you know, when you think about all the history and everything, but, and the whole town is about golf. That's part of it. So that's one. Oh man, what would be two? And God, I've never really thought of this. Well, let's see, where have we played? Shadow Creek. That's not two though.
Is it top five?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe, okay.
Yeah, probably. It's cool.
But didn't blow you away?
Yeah, you know, it does, but it does. It reminded me kind of, which is weird. It's almost like being in somewhat of a Minnesota. You're not, it's really? Like, you don't feel like you're in the desert. Because okay. the way they built it is, every hole is its own hole. You never see another hole at Shadow Creek because they brought in a bunch of trees, you know, and they built some hills. I mean, they moved like just crazy amounts of dirt to make the golf course back in 1989 or whatever it was. And it's super unique. And the golf course itself is,
it's a lot of like weird shots and holes and undulation. And stuff.
Yeah. Like, it's super manicured. Elevation. It's super nice. It's pretty, it might be like number five, I guess, but I would put Pack Dunes is good.
I was going to say, there's got to be one of the abandoned courses.
Yeah, Pack Dunes. I played Pack Dunes twice when we were there. Loved Pack Dunes. I liked them all. Abandoned Dunes. I actually really liked Old Mac. I wish we only played it once. I wish we would have played that one twice because we played some, you know, you play extra golf there.
Yeah, well, while you're going through your list, I'll pull up my itinerary for you.
Oh, yeah.
So you've got one Old Course.
Old Course.
Put Shadow. No. You said Pack Dunes. Is Pack Dunes like three or four?
Yeah, probably. It's up there. I'm trying to think where I played.
Surprised you can't find your two. Is Scottsdale National up there?
Yeah.
Bob doesn't listen to our podcast.
No, I don't know if it would be. You know the one that I think that I really loved that I think is criminally underrated is Chambers Bay. I loved.
Said that.
I'm so upset
I couldn't go this year.
Loved Chambers Bay. I think it got a bad rap during the Open. I thought Chambers was amazing. Where else have I played? I'm trying to think. Golly. I mean, I played everything here in Minnesota. They're all good. Interlochen was really good. The renovation was
the new one?
Was money, yeah.
Heard but, that.
Where else? I'm trying to think. Oh, man. You know, the one that I don't know if it's top five, but I loved it was Cedar Rapids Country Club. It was super fun.
That would never.
Super fun. Yeah, yeah.
No clue.
It was awesome. We played that. We were down there. Let's see. Where else have I been? I know I'm missing some big ones here. In my off the top of my head, I mean, I've played Torrey. I wouldn't put that in the top five.
I think Torrey's a dog. We talked about this on your podcast.
Yeah,
on our
pod. Yeah, you know what? I think for what it is, it's really good. It's a good championship golf course for professionals. You know, it gives a real test of golf.
Yeah, and especially when they get it in good condition. But yes. I didn't get it in great condition. I think I just had higher expectations, probably what it was. A lot of golf like can be expectations, right?
Yeah,
like
for sure.
You know, you hear from somebody or this group like, yeah, this was the best ever. And you're so excited to go. And then you go and then it's a letdown and vice versa. Like you don't hear much about it. And like for example, I had never heard of Laurel Valley. Have you heard of Laurel Valley?
Yep. Yep.
I had never heard of Laurel Valley. I started doing research on it, looked at the history. All of a sudden, I'm like, I'm going on this trip. I get to Laurel Valley. It's like top five for me. Easy.
Yeah, it looks good.
Like it was phenomenal. I don't think a lot of people have heard of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Torrey, it just a lot of holes. And you saw it if you watch TV. They're so similar. It's just like back and forth.
True, yeah.
You know, it's just, I don't know. It's good. I'm trying to think where the hell else have I played? God, I've been to some good ones. You know what else I loved, which is underrated? Blue Mound. Outside of Milwaukee. It's a rainer. Awesome. Where else did we play? Have we played?
Have you ever, I know probably haven't played it. Maybe you have. It'd be awesome if you have. Have you been to or played Augusta?
Nope. Haven't been to Augusta either. I never win the lottery. Every year I get the no email.
I got lucky for a practice round with a client of mine and very much like what I've heard about the Old Course is when I stepped foot on property, I got like an eerie, not eerie, I got like goosebumps.
Yeah.
Like that the ground and the place I was at was sacred. Like I felt something and it was so cool to be there. You know, there's no phones. That's like a completely crazy experience, especially this day and age. And we got to do the cool, like, Berkman's place. So you got to, like, putt on, you know, the Amen Corner replica greens. And, like, it was just, it's perfectly perfect.
I know.
And it was phenomenal.
I would love to win the lottery because if you win the lottery, it's almost like a free trip. Because you can, if you win the lottery for, a buddy of mine did it this year. He got a practice round and you get up to 4 tickets for the practice round.
Yeah.
And he took his brother. And then they sold the other two on, like, you know, a StubHub or some secondary market, and they sold them for, like, it was over $1,000 a piece.
Sure.
So they paid for their hotel rooms and stuff, like, just by selling the other two all practice tickets. And then they went.
Hell yeah.
And if you win, I think if you win the lottery for the actual tournament, you only get 2, maybe. You don't get as many. But, yeah. Oh, gosh. I don't know. Yeah. I'm trying to think what else I've played. You know which one was, like, not top 5, but was awesome. I played this summer. It was Wild Horse. In Nebraska, that was
I've heard
that was really good.
It's fairly new, isn't it?
Yeah, fairly new. Yeah, we played there, and we played Wakanda, and Omaha Country Club was great. We played Broadmoor. That's interesting. That's where the U.S. Senior Open will be this year. That's right in the mountains. Crazy Broadmoor. Putting. So it's in Colorado Springs. But yeah, I don't. You know, I'm trying to. There's probably some I'm missing, but.
And you're planning on going to Ireland this summer, right?
Well, one of our guys is. We're hoping to get him. I'm hoping to get us all there. We'll see. I know we're doing Sand Valley. I think at some point in time, all the course there. I was talking to Chris Kaiser.
You'll get Lido too.
Yeah.
So what? Because when I went, we played three or four. So there's Mammoth, there's Sand Valley, there's Sedge Valley, there's the Lido, and there's.
Sandbox. And they have a new one coming, a 12-hole called the Commons, I just saw. Yeah.
I did all, but I didn't play Sand Valley. That was the one I didn't.
You didn't play Sand Valley?
Well, we had to choose between Mammoth and Sand Valley, and everybody said if you had to choose, well, here's how you choose, is Mammoth, you're going to have a bunch of fun.
Yes.
And Sand Valley is more of like a, you know, like real test of
Sand
golf.
Valley, yeah, they're very different. Mm-hmm. You know, Mammoth, I mean, like, if you, it is, you are truly, you are blasting driver everywhere.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to do.
And the greens are massive.
And they
funnel towards the hole, usually.
Yeah.
Where Sand Valley's the opposite. You know, it's much more strategic. It's got kind of like the Pinehursty dome greens.
Yeah.
Where if you hit it at the edges, you're going to roll it off the green.
So when I go back, I want to play Sand Valley. But I'm glad I played Mammoth because it was fun. I got to pound driver. And
the par
played
threes
the
on Mammoth are awesome.
Yeah, they were all great. Yeah. It was hell. So here's our abandoned. So we land, get there, and we play Bandon, the Preserve, the first night. Just, you know,
perfect first night to go out and get your lay of the land.
It's like 3:30 tee time.
Yep.
And then the next day we play Bandon Dunes and Pack Dunes.
Yeah,
next day we played Old Mac and Sheep Ranch.
Yep.
And then we play Bandon Dunes and Bandon Trails. And then we end our last day, we play Shorties and then go back.
That's actually very similar to what we did. Yeah. You fly into Portland or you go into Eugene?
So we are flying from here to Denver is Eugene the one that's like 15 minutes away?
Well, it could be Bend Airport. No.
We're flying, whatever airport we're flying into is about a 15-minute drive.
Oh, Bend. You're flying really close. Then where the hell is that?
Yeah. So it's not private. It's just through United.
That's sweet.
I can pull up the itinerary.
We flew into Portland. And then from there, it's like, you know, like a 4-hour drive down there. But, you have a good setup because that's what we did. We got in there in the afternoon.
North Bend,
yeah.
Yep.
There's actually some good golf courses in Bend, too, really good, like Tetherow and some of those. Mm. But we got down there, did the same thing, just went out and played the Preserve, you know, grabbed some beers and just go out and, you know, it's really fun. You can, you're hitting little wedges and stuff, and you can putt, like, on the last hole, you know, and everything. But it's cool. It's got some good views. You see the ocean, and then we played them all. Yeah, we did kind of the same thing, just 36 whole days. They're a little different. Like Sheep Ranch, no bunkers.
Oh, interesting.
There's not a single bunker on the course.
It's like the first flag I'm looking forward to buying. I love the Sheep Ranch logo and swag. And, like,
stuff,
dude, yeah. I think it's so simplistic and minimalistic, but, like, I love it. Like, I've never played it. I've always been like, man, I can't wait to go there because I love that logo.
It is good. Yep. They have a lot of merch in there. Let's see.
Is it like Sand Valley where it's like kind of little trailers for all of them? Or?
No, they're full-blown like buildings. But,
really?
But
sweet.
They all have their own merch for every course in their own little shop.
Yeah, because when's the last time you went to Sand Valley?
It's been like four years. It's been a while.
So like when I was there, you know, last summer, like, you know, Sedge, they basically had glorified trailers for each one right at the first tee of all of them. You know, you get shuttled to there, then you check in there. All the merch is in there, and then you go. So it sounds like Banda's got more, like, there's buildings and all of them.
They're full-blown. Like, they're not that big. The shop at Sheep Ranch has, you know, you can get, like, hot. You can get some food. Old Mac's got a smaller one, but it's got merch. You know, Old Mac's got the Ghost Tree logo, which is good.
Yeah, that's your hat right now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, my hat right now. Yeah, they have good logos. But the main big clubhouse is Banda and Dunes, the original course. But,
sure.
But, yeah, they have good merch. They have good stuff. Trying to think, yeah, Sheep Ranch, no bunkers because that's the windiest property of the closest
to the ocean.
You're on the ocean. I mean, Pack Dunes and Bannon Dunes have holes in the ocean too, but apparently, I don't know if it's because it kind of. I think Sheep Ranch is the northern kind of the more northernmost part. There's like a kind of like a head of the hill comes out. I don't know if that makes it windier how it works, but it's windier. And I think the story goes you can kind of see when you're out there they had bunkers at one point, but I think they couldn't keep sanding them. The wind is blowing.
Oh, so it's like, screw it, take out the bunker. Yeah,
so there's not a bunker out there. I mean, most holes, there's some gorse. You can let it rip, though, you know, at out there.
Fun.
Yeah, I played. The funny thing is I hit driver grade everywhere and just played, like, scored like shit because my wedge game was terrible all year anyway. But it's, you know, it's turf conditions like you're not used to. You know, it's like being in Scotland or Ireland.
Really?
It is firm as can be.
I love that. Yeah, I like firm.
It is firm as can be. So you got to kind of adjust. And then the other thing with it being firm is you got to make sure you bring your best walking shoes because.
Yeah, you're walking 36 a day and it's long.
We walked 162 holes in 3.5 days. And we had all these tips going in, so I knew this, but I brought like my FootJoy Premieres, which I wore the first round and just ripped the hell out of my feet. Like, and these are worn in ones that I wear around here anywhere walking. And it just, the turf is so firm. I don't know. So the rest of the time I wore, like I brought an older pair of Echoes that are super comfortable.
Yeah.
I wore that the rest of the time. So
they're
like,
awesome.
Just bring your most comfortable shoes. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. So we played, I'm trying to think, Old Mac is like the ode to CB McDonald, kind of, you know, it's got template holes. It's got a couple drivable par fours.
Oh, yeah.
The first hole.
It's my style.
Literally the first hole. You get on that tee box and you feel there's some bunkers, but nothing else. And it's like 340-ish, but, you know, everything runs. So you're sitting there like, God, if I can just carry this bunker, we're going to roll. And you can get it up there, depending on what tee box you play. You can get it up there.
There's the right wind for the
day. I drove one of the par fours and then four putted. For a bogey. Brutal. Huge green. Tried to get cute, played over this slope, and I missed it and went backwards. And the next one I tried to play it up there. It was a shit show. But there's multiple drivable par fours on Old Mac. Yeah. Old Mac's sweet. Yeah, Bandon's the classic. Bandon's got a big, they got the women's AM there or something this year.
Really?
Yeah, something coming up. They got a USGA thing there. That one's good. The one that we thought, like on our pod, we did the deep dive, like, Bandon Trails is kind of a cult. Like, a lot of people like it the best.
Really?
Okay. A lot of people. But we did not because it's the one course where you're kind of off the water and you're in the trees, you know?
It just felt tighter,
but it felt a lot like a Brainerd kind of course.
Okay.
You know, something we're used to here in Minnesota.
Yeah, yeah. Northern Minnesota golf.
Yes. So we were like, But you will use the most clubs at Bandon Trails. You will hit a lot of different clubs off the tee. It's easily probably the best mix of holes, you know, long hole, short. It is. It's good. It's a cork wrench. But the other ones, like Pack Dunes, is awesome. Bennett, you can hit driver all over the place out there, which makes it really fun.
Have you guys done any other, so you're doing Sand Valley again this year, Bandon. Are there any other big, like, resorty, or not resorty, but you know what I mean? Like, have you done Pinehurst before?
Oh, Tim has. One of our guys has. I have not been to
Pinehurst. Are there any other ones that you've done?
Resorts, let's see. Those guys went.
You know what I mean? Like, complex. I have multiple.
We will do,
you know, multiple courses.
We do, you know, we have as a pod where I haven't went sometimes, but like Jeff and Tim went to Stream Song and did Stream Song. I did not go there. Resorts, let's see. Century World had us out. That was interesting. Were you at Century World where it's like.
Interesting is always an interesting word. Why was it interesting?
Well, they were like the first kind of, I think, to do the all-in take, you know, whatever you want to eat. Food, you know, they have like the halfway houses every 3-4 holes, and it's just
like beer. Blue Jack?
Probably, or, you know, Scottsdale National has it too. Like, you go in there, but I mean, it's like anything you want. You want a burger, you want ice cream, you want beer, just grab whatever you
go
want.
Go crazy.
And go, yeah. And that was it. So that's kind of a resorty place. That's actually a really, the conditions there are sweet. They have like some of the bunkers where they're like cut into the pad of the green, you know, like they are in like Australia or Augusta. They're pretty cool. I'm trying to think. Golly, I should have wrote a list down of courses we've been to.
Well, you didn't. I didn't give you anything to prepare on.
It's so. All right. Well, we are going in a month here to Macklemore. That's a resort. They have 36 holes there now. They just opened the Keep in the mountains outside Chattanooga. We're going down there in a month to do Macklemore, Lookout Mountain, Sweetens Cove. Haven't been there yet. We had Rob on the podcast a while back. He's, you know, the designer of like Sweetens Cove Landman. And he's a part owner of Sweetens Cove, so we're going to get out there, and then we're going to play Chattanooga Country Club with a guy that, or supposed to, I think, with a guy that golfs from Chattanooga, Garrett Ingles' name. He made the final 16 of the USAM at Hazeltine this year. He's the guy with the split grip.
He swings, oh, that guy.
He swings at the split grip, yeah.
Yeah, dude, he looks just on video, looks like he rips it.
I think so, yeah.
We
had him on the pod. Tim interviewed him, and we did an article on him, so he's going to come out and play with us, I think. We're trying
That's
to...
That's cool.
We have really lacked, like, our biggest fault is we've lacked at YouTube stuff. You know,
dude, it's hard. I had this combo with Andy, like,
yeah,
you know, yeah. Obviously, you guys have a podcast. We got a podcast too. Like, it's fun. Like, I feel like this part is the easy part. Like,
yes,
the interviewing, the conversations, the, you know, getting the content and reviewing stuff and all that. Just because maybe not easy, but like, it's hard to do on course content and turn it. Like, you look at Bob Does Sports or Foreplay guys. Those guys have just as many, if not more, people on their camera crew and audio and editors than they do just their guys. And so you got to make a lot of money to be able to do it the right way. Like, it's impossible to go out with a camera stand and your iPhone and expect to be able to film content, right? Like, so it's difficult. And, like, you'd really have to go full in. And the other thing I've talked with Andy about is, like, you know, for us, like, getting out and playing golf a lot of the times is it's like how I release.
I know.
Like, it's my stress reliever. I want to be with my guys, my buddies. Like, I'm away from home, away from work, and I just want to, like, golf and enjoy it. I don't want it to feel like now it's a job or now I have to record whatever. I feel like it would take the joy away from why I do it in the first
place.
That's
where we're kind of at, too. It's like, it is work because you got to record every shot. And then you gotta get some interactions and some bullshitting, all that stuff on there. And then you gotta go and you gotta edit it all.
You gotta have the scorecard up there.
Scorecard, you gotta shot tracers. You gotta put on. It's a lot of work. So we're hoping to maybe try at least start do some of that because we have the podcast, we have the newsletter, which is essentially like a website kind of.
Let me throw an idea at you. What if we did like a, I don't know, Minnesota podcast tournament?
Yeah.
It could be sponsored by a member guest and Break 80, but we basically have, I've thrown this idea out to Andy a couple times of, you know, the people that have been guests and are players and are like, you know, legit golfers. Like, I'm not saying we wouldn't open up to the public, but like, you know, people that have been on the podcast and want to play and, you know, support the pods or whatever and do a tournament that way. And just like, then you can kind of go all in because it's set up as a tournament for that. Right, and then you can maybe hire some people to help do that and follow some of the groups. But like, you know, we could fill it out with Jelly and you know,
sure,
a bunch of, you know, the pros around the state that we've talked to: Bennett, Luke, Luke Benoit, Luke Elfner, Will Leaf, like all these guys. Like, you could really quick get 15 groups.
You could. I mean, we did
16 groups, do a shotgun start and get a bunch of content, and you know, do it for a good cause.
Our very first year, when we first started the pod, we're like, we should get it. Let's have a Ryder Cup. So we went up. We took 12 people up the Giants Ridge. We played the Wilderness, and then we played. So we had four Ryder Cup rounds: Wilderness, Quarry, Legend, and Quarry again. But we had, what did we have, 12 or 16? I can't remember. We had two teams. We just handicapped it all, used an app, you know, like golf teams. It was really fun. We've talked about for years doing it again.
What if we did a team member guest versus team Break 80 and we had like four foursomes or eight foursomes each?
It'd be fun.
And we just did a big Ryder Cup style 36 hole day event out at Windsong or something. Yeah. And
it'd be great. We decided if we do it again, We probably wouldn't go to like Giants Ridge because it's so penalizing if you spray the ball a little bit, like the Corey. You've been up there, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, I played it twice.
For the higher handicappers, I mean, you go, it's beautiful golf course, great course. But if you miss the rough, you know, if you go fairway rough, it is a lost ball. I mean, you're not
what are Jeff and your other guy, what are their handicaps?
Yeah, they're like 3 and 4. So they're solid players. Yeah, so they both shoot. They'll shoot the 70s almost all the time.
10 and under handicaps.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't think that's like a bad, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. No, if you're going to play a difficult course, like you want to get good players out there, you want it to be competitive, you want it to be legit.
It'd be a blast because it's like at the end of the day, you're just out there having a good time bullshitting. You want to win, obviously, a little bit, but you know, you're connecting with people. And yeah, I mean, you are right though, because we caddied for the 4-play guys at the 3M at the Pro-Am a couple years ago, and they had legit like full camera crew. Like it's on YouTube. Dude, we're on there. If you go on the 4-play like YouTube and you go back to the 3M, we're on there caddying for them, but it's like full camera guys. You know, they were in town. The reason it worked out is they were in town for their event at Medina.
Yeah, that's right. They did the Barstool Classic. Yes. One of the tournaments was there.
Yeah, and it just so happened, like, you know, they're big with all the hockey guys, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So they, it was them and then Brock Nelson, who plays for the Islanders.
Yeah.
You know, he was with them because he's a member, I think, at YZR somewhere down here in the summer. But they had, like, I think I caddied for Frankie, which was, he was the best of the three by a mile.
Best player?
Best player by a mile, yeah.
He's better than...
Riggs, yeah.
Riggs?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Riggs is...
Good for Frankie. Low-key, shout out Frankie. I feel like his game has, you know, I've been following them for a while. I feel like he's definitely gotten the most better and is really, like, in it. Like, truly in it.
Yes.
And that's no dig on the other guys. It just feels like he has made some strides. And I see his swing now. I'm like, yeah, dude, he's come a long ways.
He hits it pretty good. Like, driver was pretty good. He gets it out there a ways, you know. Yeah. And then I went into it. This is right around the time where they were all worried about his chipping and, like, the chipping yips and everything. So I remember I even told him, like, we're chipping, you know, with all the pros on the thing. I'm like, hey, you know, I said, I know something about your game, blah, blah, blah. And, Do you want to putt? Do you want to putt? I asked him right away. I'm like, do you want to putt a lot of these long ones? He's like, no, I got it. You know, he kind of laughed because he knew the whole deal. But he was good. I mean, I gave him a few bad reads. I'm not a very good green reader. but he was, I mean, playing his own ball, he could break 80 a lot of places, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, I imagine he can. You know, right on brand.
And Trent is, you know, doing the break 90. It's funny because his greatest shot, other than the one he made at Rain Dance, you know, to break 90 or whatever, that one, they have a plaque there now.
Really?
Yeah. So we
got a plaque for breaking 90.
We played it. We played it on our way out to the BMW this year because we have we have PGA Tour media credentials, so we go to some events. And it's like it's the longest golf course in North America. You can play it at 8,500 yards.
Oh my god!
Because it's, you know, it's way up in that mountain in the elevation.
Holy cow!
You know, it's got a Royals everywhere, so it's kind of hard. But he chipped in to break 90 on 18. There's a plaque behind the green where he chipped in.
It's funny, but also pretty cool. Like, I generally speaking, I'm definitely not anti anything they do, but like, it is, like, there's so many things in golf right now. Like, we were talking about this before. There's so many podcasts. There's so much content. There's so much stuff out there. I think, generally speaking, I haven't given them enough credit for, like, they truly have helped grow the game. Like, when you think about it, they get so many more people involved and playing and loving it. And, like, there is definitely a place for the guys that just like to go out and play and try and get better. And they've done a good job of that.
The YouTube golf's huge. We started this week. We decided, well, you know, we should probably, because, you know, our normal pod, we talk about random stuff and, you know, our games. But a lot of times we'll talk about what happened this week in golf. And we're like, you know, we should probably start doing like the weekend YouTube too, because it's huge. You know, it's big. And
reviewing what we can talk about, you know, like,
well, Bryson broke 50 again with Grant Horvat and whoever, you know, you just talk about random.
Yeah, the other good dude.
But anyway, but yeah, I think it's a bit. Like, there's no way you can practice that much and not get any better, really. Like,
but if it was a bit, we would have known by now. If it is a bit, it's the longest, most successful bit in the history of golf.
Like his putting stroke, is he not going to fix that? Like, it's just going to have this gross.
It just is what it is, man. Like,
he hit on hole 2 at TPC. You played there, right?
TPC.
Twin Cities.
Oh, yeah.
You know, hard par 4. It's got the water right. It's kind of like a peninsula. It's like one of the harder holes in the golf course.
I'm thinking of hole 1 right now. Because the hard part for me is I've only played TPC in shotgun formats.
Oh, yeah. So
I've never truly played it. 1-18.
So they don't play the back tees, you know, on a pro-am. They go up a ways.
Yeah.
And he hit a house right of the, like, I'm talking.
Oh,
right,
I know too. I know
right
too.
Of, right of the water, he hit a house. Like, you have to hit this thing like 100 yards offline.
Right of the water on two?
Yes, he hit a house. Like Riggs did when we were caddying.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. So, but yeah.
Good for you, Riggs.
Frankie's the best player of the three, but they're all awesome dudes. They're all super nice.
They all seem great.
Yeah, they're awesome
heard,
to be around.
I've heard, and they seem like they're awesome guys.
Yeah, they were all very personal.
That's a cool experience.
Yep. Yeah. So, yeah. But, yeah, I think doing some sort of match would be fun. I mean, this
area. We should set it up.
This area needs something, you know, like that. Like, I don't know. That's how we started this pod. Like, we were just Instagram buddies started golfing together, and we're like, Jeff's like, we should start a podcast. And then we just used his Instagram name because he had the biggest following, Break 80 Golf.
Oh,
and
that was his like personal
that
before?
That was his personal Instagram.
Oh, shit.
So
oh,
now,
that's
we
amazing.
Like, now we have the Break 80 podcast one to go with his personal one, you know, which is bigger than, that's our biggest social media thing now. But at the time, it was the only golf thing was Common Man's K-Fan Saturday show, really, in Minnesota. And that was it, kind of. So we're like, yeah, why not? And
yeah, it's awesome. You guys are pioneers for Minnesota Minnesota golf content.
And here we are, yeah.
Yeah, now you're sitting in my garage. I don't know if you ever thought that would happen. I mean, Andy and I's story is the same thing. We met in I had just joined Winsong, and we had seen each other, but I didn't know anybody. I mean, I truly knew nobody. Like, I got introduced to some guys, played with them once, and I was like, hey, kind of a big ask, but, like, would you vouch for me if I wanted to become a member? And they were like, they played with me once, and they're like, yeah, no problem. Help you get in. You seem like you're all right. So I get in, but I know nobody. And so, like, it was kind of difficult, like, trying to get in with guys and play with them, whatever. And I was in the Delta Sky Lounge one day and saw Andy, and I was like, hey, man, like, are you at Winsong? And he's like, yeah, you look familiar. Are you too? And so we grabbed a Diet Coke because he doesn't drink, and I don't really drink either. And we sat down and we were just talking, and we were literally like, yeah, we should do a podcast. Like, that'd be fun too. Like, I always thought about it. I was like, yeah, I've thought about it too. I'm like, why not? My fiance has a much bigger, more large, successful podcast than I do.
Really?
Yeah, she's got like 100,000 followers and has a whole community around it and does events. And
I got to talk to her tonight how we can get
She'll help you out. Yeah. But she was like, yeah, I can help you guys get started. Like, I know what to do. She told me to buy these cameras, buy the Rodecaster, and we were off to the races. So it's like, it's cool. I think we're on, this will be episode like 110.
Yeah,
I think it's like a little over 2 years.
I don't know what we have.
Are you guys weekly or when do you do it?
Yeah, we try to do, I mean, ideally, we would do like our normal pod episode with just us. We either do it Sunday nights or Monday nights, you know, try to do it somewhat after what's happened. And then ideally we like to get a guest, you know, every week. And sometimes we'll have them on our pod, you know, like you came on just our normal one. But other times we'll do a standalone. Like tomorrow we have one of the good guys. We'll put that out tomorrow. The problem is the more you do it and the more stuff you try to do, you know, like we have a newsletter, which we're writing articles, and you got to put stuff on social media and other websites that'll help you make
constant.
It's a constant
it's
work,
constant.
You know, and it's like, we all have, well, same with you. We have our normal jobs too. It's like, God, you can't keep up with all the stuff that you have to do.
I know. Well, that's what I tell people too, is like, you know, for me, especially, like, I do it because I truly love it. Like, I am pretty confident you and I could sit here and talk for 3 hours.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I could do a Joe Rogan long-form podcast and just bullshit. And, like, if people like it. If they don't, they don't, whatever. But, like, I like it.
Yeah.
And I put it out there. And I've learned a ton. And, like, I'm still trying to get better at the game. And I learn new stuff every single week. But you're right. Like, the more you do, it's weird. The more people also expect of you. Like, oh, you should do this. Or when are you doing this? I'm like, I get paid for none of this. Like, I lose a lot of money on the podcast. I do it because I love it. I think it's fun to put content out there. But I totally get it. Like, the more you want to bite off, like, the more just time and it starts to consume you, and you kind of got to reel back a little bit.
It really is. And it's like, and, you know, like, Jeff's got a couple kids. I have a kid. Tim doesn't, you know. But, like, I find myself doing a lot of it late at night. Like,
yeah,
it's just
like this. I don't even know what time I need to get you out of here soon.
Not even. It's fine. I stay up late every night pretty much. But it's like, that's kind of when I'm doing it. It's like, oh, my gosh. But, yeah, but I could chop it up for hours. Talking.
But see, how cool would it be, like, you know, you make a big, like, call it the good guys or whatever. And you, like, you've already grinded and done all that. You have the guys and gals that do that for you. All you do is show up and you're just, like, the person.
Yeah, I mean.
Like, that would be sweet.
thankfully there's apps that'll, you know, websites that'll chop like that. See, where they have it made is like we just talked about. If you do a full content YouTube something, you know, and you have people producing it for you, then from there you just chop that up into clips, you know, which websites do that for you, and you have all your social media stuff basically done for you.
You play a 4-hour round, I bet they get 100 clips from that.
Oh yeah, easily. I mean, that's easily
3 months worth of content.
Yeah, you know, and a website for what, $9-$10 a month, I'll do that for you.
Yeah,
yeah. So,
so it sounds like what we need to figure out is, I'll share some personal stuff with you after when we're done about maybe doing like some kind of tournament. I think it would be awesome to do. And I don't think it would be that hard to set up a Monday out at Winsong. We can probably get, what's 18 times 4?
40, 72.
72 players, sure, shotgun start, won't take more than 4 hours if you get all under 10 handicaps.
Yeah.
Ryder Cup style.
Depending on how fast I get the greens moving. I've seen it out there sometimes.
Where we can talk to Dayling.
Where it could be pretty mind-boggling how fast they get.
We can talk to Dayling if we need to. He's like, hey, we'll set it up. You know,
which is the best? Like that's why I love Winsong. It's like they know what they are. Like that's the main defense is the greens, right? So they're gonna, every time I've played it, I've played a decent amount, it's usually humming pretty good.
Oh yeah, I usually get running 13 or so,
which is good. I mean, I've always said the course you remember at to me is the one for sure in the West Metro, my favorite, but maybe my favorite just in general. It's just so fun to play.
Yeah, I am excited to see Interlochen's
very
renovation.
Good.
Everyone that's played it for the first time, whether they're members or people like you that got invited to play, have all said it's great.
Yes.
And I mean, I liked it before the renovation. So
yeah, they made some. You know, I mean, a lot of it wasn't a big change. We had Andrew Green on the podcast that day. He came on, and he kind of talked about some of the changes, and you know, he's the big one of the big hot names now. He did Oak Hill and East Lake, and he didn't have to do a ton to a lot of them, but he did some things. Like he lengthened like 11, which used to be, I swear, back in the day when I was there, it was like a driver wedge, and I had a decent drive and had like a full 6-iron in there, you know.
Wow.
They lengthened that, and they added a tee box back to 17, so it was playing like the Bobby Jones era. It's a par 3. It was like
cool.
We played it at 271, I think.
They really want to host a U.S. Open, don't they?
Yeah, they're gonna. Well, they'll host the women's again 2030.
Okay,
they got a women's again. They already have that set up. I don't know if the infrastructure is just not enough, and it's too tight of an area for men.
Yeah,
but it's super fun. They did a great. It's awesome. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. You know, I like Winsong. My top metro ones here. I like Winsong. Interlochen's great. Love Minnetonka too.
I still haven't played Minnetonka.
Yeah, really fun. I can get you out. We got a guy. We can get you out.
Love to play there. I've heard great things.
Really good. White Bear, of course. It was fun. You had a great round there. Was that last summer?
Why do you have to say that? I just got shit from my buddies. Like when I saw Scotty Scheffler, nobody was like, "Did you tell him about your round at Wiper Yacht Club?" I was like, no. Because then that made me think. I'm like, oh, shit, have I said it multiple times? Which I must have if you're saying it. So now I feel terrible about bringing up my Wiper Yacht Club.
That's good plan. I mean, how many times? Was that one of your first times out there?
Second.
That's like super good because there's so much like local. There's so many bounces out there that you got to play so many kind of weird shots because of the terrain.
I think that's the, whether it's there or anywhere else, like Mammoth was the same thing.
Almost
playing, not stupid golf, but like not knowing almost helps because you don't overthink it.
Yeah.
And like I had two members in my group that kind of helped me around. It's like, hit it here, hit it, you know, close to this number, and you'll be in good shape. And I just listened. And
that's what we do. We go out there with this guy. He's won the club championship there a few times, and he'll be like, hit it over here. I'm like, what? He's like, watch this. Just hit it over here, and you hit it over there, and it funnels right down home. Like, playing by myself, I would have never in a million years done that.
Well, it's funny, too. It's another one of those courses, like, a bad shot can actually be good.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So
trying to think and then, of course, or Spring Hill, but which is great. But every time you play Spring, I mean, that is a tight, you know, there's a lot of nervy tee shots at Spring Hill.
Yeah.
Especially when you go to the back tee and you got to hit driver a lot of those places. But I tell you, Harry Higgs, I talked to Harry Higgs. I've talked to him a few different times at PGA Tour events. He loves Spring Hill. One of his favorite courses there.
Really?
Is.
That's cool. He seems like a sweet guy, too.
Yeah, he's funny. But for the Metro, you guys are right up there. I mean, it's top notch.
Yeah, we'll get you out there next year. Hopefully we'll set something up. This definitely won't be the last time we jump on the pod and vice versa. It's been good getting to know you and the guys. And Absolutely. Love what you guys have been doing, and obviously take after you a little bit. Like you said, you're pioneers in the game.
We're just three guys bullshitting, and somehow it's
what we say too. We're two guys bullshitting.
Somehow we've managed to finagle our way into some stuff, I guess.
Yeah, well, appreciate the time. We'll definitely set something up. You're welcome at Winsong, and you're welcome in here anytime you need to work on the game before the season starts.
Oh God, I need a lot of work. It's rough.
No, you're good, man. Till next time.
All right, thanks, man.